Welcome to Highway to Health. I'm Jeremy Quinby. Can you believe it's past Labor Day already? Can you believe this? It happened so fast. I feel like I go through this every year. The 1 minute I'm complaining about the heat and humidity, and then I wake up and it's 53 degrees in the morning. I don't think I had a down moment this summer, though, but I can't complain too much about having a full plate, can I? It's been pretty amazing, some of the people I've been meeting, some of the projects I'm getting pulled into. And like the weather, I guess this moment in my life will probably pass, and I'll just look back at it as some crazy busy time that I had. But you know, I don't think it's an anomaly either. I feel like this is a theme for me of some sort. I just go through cycles where I take on too much, and then I start to freak out, and then I pare it back down because I can't handle that much. And then the next time I try it again, and maybe I can handle a little bit more, or maybe I get smarter. I'm not sure. But I don't think it's a terribly unhealthy pattern. I think this is just a way of exploring, and the overwhelm sometimes I think is one of my ways in which I try to figure out what I really want to do and what I want to let go of. So, but you know, even with all this, I'm feeling a little bit desperate for some R&R. But I'm gonna push through this and count my blessings. So remember, if you want to empower the programming you get here, go to our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/highwaytohealth. Donate what you can. Every little bit helps and helps me keep finding these insightful guests and bringing it to you. If you have any suggestions for someone you think would be good to have on the program, someone you'd like to hear me have a conversation with here on the podcast, hit me up at my email. It's jeremy@highwaytohealthpodcast.com. And I have to share with you an email I woke up to this morning in my inbox from Molly in Virginia, Minnesota, not too far away from Hibbing, if I'm not mistaken, if I got my geography right. Bobby Zimmerman, a.k.a. Bob Dylan, to his fans, where he grew up. Molly writes, "My younger brother told me to listen to your episode with Mette Dyerberg. I got so much out of the episode that I had to share it with you. I've been hypothyroid most of my adult life. I'm 40 years old last week. I had never heard of the term intermittent fasting before listening to this episode. So I started researching it, and I have been, since then, I've been having my last meal at 5 p.m. As it's been suggested, and I don't eat again until 7 a.m. I should also mention that I have had a number of skin conditions. Somehow, though, I have lost 20 pounds since March, and I've had no skin issues since the change. I've started exercising as well, but mostly because I feel more energy and started walking a mile every night. That is just something that felt right to me. I've also decided to try a different endocrinologist for my thyroid, and she's very excited about what has happened with me from the small changes I've made. Thanks for having Mette on, and thank her for me. I will do that. Thank you for sharing this, Molly, and I'll be sure to let her know if she hasn't heard this first here on the podcast already. I know she's a listener. The reason I wanted to share this email with all of you is because there's a few important things here, I think. One is that if you believe something for a very long time, which might not have been completely accurate, it's hard to even imagine that anything could change, especially with like a thyroid challenge. But you know, and there may be more to it than just a thyroid challenge in Molly's case. But what I'm really impressed by here is that she's engaged her intuition. That too often we're told what to do, and without really being engaged in a conversation with our healthcare providers. And that a lot of times if we're asked more questions, or if we're brought into things a little bit more, we can actually help ourselves in a lot of ways, because using that intuition, we can actually figure things out on our own. And sometimes it's a matter of experimenting. It seems kind of like what's gone on here. So, and if you've listened to the episode with Mette and her thyroid story, her instinct was really what sort of got her through and led her to the right people, and just trusting that when she was getting different information from different doctors. So, but sometimes a second opinion is also very important. So, today, my guest is John Samuels. But before I get to that, I have to tell you that my guest next week is Dr. Rosie Ward, PhD. She's a co-founder of Salvio Partners and is spearheading an incredible conference here in Minneapolis, November 7th through the 9th. If you'd like to, if you like the content that you hear here on Highway to Health, I think you might want to check this out. It's the Fusion 2.0 conference. It's a unique multidisciplinary conference focused on promoting humanity in the workplace so that people can thrive in work and in their personal life. And it's about finding your people, building a community, and taking action. There are going to be over 50 guest speakers lined up for this three-day conference. And beyond that, beyond just being inspired, they've designed a constructive breakout sessions, conference journals, and labs. So you'll have actionable takeaways that you can leave the conference with and a plan to immediately start implementing this meaningful change into your life. You can register at fusion2conference.com. That's fusion2conference.com. Also, be sure to catch my conversation with Dr. Rosie Ward next week. She is the real deal, my friends. Quite entertaining and a serious force for good. Subscribe to the podcast on your feed right now so you don't miss it. So John Samuels, my guest for today, is someone that I was introduced to a few years back when I was exploring ways to organize my health network for referrals in New York. And he impressed me right away as someone who is serious about taking care of people. And as he explains it, it has been a lifelong passion of his. He managed huge facilities from nursing homes to HIV/AIDS clinics and emergency care. With Better Health Advisors, his new company, he's bringing a more personalized effort to care. They coordinate everything from intake to doctor's visits and follow-ups to insurance and billing challenges even. I know very little about how their care advisory worked, so I wanted to talk to him, and I was curious about the model as I'm constantly looking for ways to help people that I treat and their families when there's a health crisis. And I'm always looking for people who I think are on the forefront of health improvement solutions. And I think John is onto something. Here is my conversation with John Samuels. How long ago was it that you and I met? Has it been 3 years?
Yeah, that's right. It's been about 3 years.
Wow. And was that right when you started this? Had you just stopped working at the hospital at that point?
So I had stopped working at the hospital, and we were just forming the company Better Health Advisors. But the kind of work that we do, we had been doing for the last 20 years.
Okay. And with the doctor that you're working with?
So he and I did this work together for several years, but separately in our careers before we incorporated. We were doing this kind of work, helping people navigate the healthcare system for a very, very long time.
Huh. So how did you start? What was your entry into the medical field or health?
So I grew up in Pittsburgh. And my grandfather had a stroke at 50, and we lived close to him. And I grew up in a family where my father was taking care of my grandfather every day.
Oh, wow.
So my father was organizing his treatment and helping manage the nurses and managing his home care and getting supplies and getting him to a nursing home and figuring out his doctors. And I grew up seeing people struggle with the healthcare system and the challenges of that.
What did he have?
He had diabetes.
So
for the next 25 years, I grew up with my dad helping my grandfather manage his healthcare, and that really gave me the drive and the passion for a career in healthcare.
Yeah. So what did you? Where did you start? Where did you go to college, or what did you do for school?
Right. So I was initially interested in public health. So I did a master's degree at UMass and Amherst in public health. And then I did a little bit of work in DC in health policy. And then I quickly went to administration.
Okay.
And for several years I worked in nursing home and long-term care administration.
In DC?
In New York.
In New York. Okay.
And then I transferred over to hospital leadership.
Okay. And so what was your, What was your sort of entry into the kind of work that you're doing now? Was it managing ERs?
So the sort of the three main jobs I had on the provider side was in managing nursing homes, and then running HIV/AIDS substance abuse programs, oh, wow, and then emergency medicine.
Okay.
And each of those areas were precursors to the work that I'm doing around giving me experience and relationships and an approach to a healthcare advisory.
Explain healthcare advisory a little bit, because I think most people don't have much of an idea of what it is.
So when we talk about healthcare advisory, if somebody were to have a wealth event and sell a company and have a lot of money, I'd hope they wouldn't Google, how do I manage my family fortune?
Right.
They often hire a wealth advisor.
Okay.
And when someone buys a house, they often use experts like attorneys to help with the paperwork and logistics and so forth.
Yeah.
So when people get sick, it's our hope that they use health advisors to help them manage their health care.
Yeah.
Help a trusted expert who is who understands how things work and has insights of the system to help them navigate care.
Yeah.
Right.
And how long has this been going on as far as this kind of health advisory? I mean, I think a lot of people don't even hear about this or don't have much knowledge that this even exists.
Yeah, there's a lot of work happening in the West Coast.
Okay.
I'm part on the board of a group, a national healthcare advocate group, and where there's other health advocates and health advisors. So the work is happening, but in some ways it's just starting. And it's some of the work that we've been doing is to articulate to consumers and to businesses as well the value of health advisory and how that can help improve health outcomes. People often don't wake up in the morning and think, gee, I'm going to have a car accident today. You know, I need to get a health advisor. On the other hand,
or a vascular event, which is like super common, and people don't have, you know, any plan if something like that happens.
Right. Or if somebody has multiple chronic health conditions,
right,
they often don't realize, oh, there's somebody who can help me manage all the different doctors, all the different opinions, all the communications, and make sure that they're getting great care.
Right. And then this is where you and I started talking, was like trying to, you know, because this is one of the challenges I've found in my field, is that because I tend to work with, just being in the field that I'm in, I tend to work with people who are, you know, labeled idiopathic, or, you know, they have usually multiple conditions going on, but the root cause is sort of, you know, hard to pin down. And, you know, they're having some success for some period of time with one doctor, and then they go to another place. And the problem starts to become that you get a lot of he said, she said going on. So I get, you know, and sometimes it's somebody that I've, referred them to, or I know the person that they're working with, and they'll say things like, oh, so-and-so said this, and they're really frustrated with what the person said. And I'll be like, I don't know if they would actually say that. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have some sort of connected chain or someone in the process to be like, let me follow up with this and see what's going on. And I, you know, in my field, I try to do as much as I can communication wise, but there's, you know, for most of us, there's only so much of that we can actually do.
Yeah. And I think, especially today with the internet and so much information out there, it's, you know, we like to say the internet is not a good second opinion.
Right.
Right. That we have to be careful who we're getting information from and how we're synthesizing that.
Yeah. And so so take me through, like, first of all, let me go back. So you got into working with nursing homes, and was that the beginning of your idea for kind of doing more advisory work, or how did you fall into that?
So some of the first work that I did was in long-term care and in nursing homes, and developing state-of-the-art Alzheimer's dementia programs. And, you know, with the way our country's aging, there's lots of needs in that space.
Yeah.
You know, and then for me, as a hospital administrator, I wanted more challenges. I wanted new things. So I transitioned from nursing home leadership to running HIV AIDS and substance abuse programs, and then eventually to emergency medicine. And my last job before I started my company was I oversaw 16 emergency departments across the New York metropolitan area, overseeing the operations and quality and staffing and so forth. So it gave me a very broad and insightful perspective on the delivery of healthcare, not just emergency medicine, but how the healthcare system works.
And what's the most challenging thing you deal with when it comes to all those things, like dealing with HIV, nursing home care, and that kind of thing?
I think that the siloed portion of healthcare.
Yeah.
I think that healthcare delivery is separate from insurance.
Yeah.
Which is separate often from care and treatment, with who doctors are and how and the lack of coordination in that. So I believe that there are great, great, great doctors and great hospitals, but sometimes getting to the right ones and the system prevents that. So I think the complexity and the sideload nature of the healthcare system often prevents people from getting great care.
So how do you break that down when someone comes to you and let's say they have some challenges you have, I'm guessing, now where you're at, or even when you were probably managing, the person has sort of a number of different things going on with between who their insurance is, the kind of care they need, who the best, specialist or doctor is for them to see. And then how do you sort of navigate that for them?
Yeah. So what we do is everybody who comes to Better Health Advisors, we do a initial assessment plan. And just like people have a wealth advisory plan, they have a health advisory plan. And in order to develop that plan, we do a thorough assessment of what their insurance is,
okay,
of who their providers and treatment team are comprised of, and what's happening medically. And we take that information, and with our experience, our insights, our resources, we give them a plan that helps them manage their healthcare. And we do that for anybody who is with us, either sick, yeah, or not sick, but just want us there for assurance. So yeah. So the plans that we give them are custom to their situation. So a client of ours is worried about emergencies and urgent care and what to do about that. So in his plan was a breakdown of the urgent care centers near where he lives and the sort of how they're staffed and what their specialties are.
And you didn't you manage some huge emergency care,
yeah,
facilities? So
the network I was involved in, Northwell Health, started,
yeah, that's right.
Dozens and dozens of urgent care centers,
okay,
that were work closely with emergency medicine, because okay, there's a symbiotic relationship there.
Okay.
So
you have the knowledge of both how the centers work, which helps. I mean, it's a system of sorts. You need to understand how it works, but
exactly. And that's the challenging, that's why the complexity of the system makes it so difficult for people. A client of ours called one day and said he's calling his insurance company and they keep saying to go to this urgent care center. He can't find it. Well, the place closed 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
Right. Which we knew. And in fact, he didn't need an urgent care. He needed to see a orthopedic hand surgeon, which
right,
we connected him to.
Yeah.
The complexity often makes it difficult for people to get the great healthcare, and that's how we try to help them.
And that's a perfect example, actually, because if you have a complex hand injury, it's very important. I mean, we one of the things I've kind of come to realize in my career is that if you have hand or feet, injuries, the kind of problems that's going to cause for the rest of your life if you don't really get the right care right away is just so crucial. And also when it comes to, hands are also one of those things that everybody sees. And so you need to probably have a plastics person involved and all that kind of stuff too. So, and most people have no idea of what they're even getting involved in. And if they go to an urgent care, most of the people on staff there aren't going to really know, you know, exactly what the procedure should be for the next, you know, 2 days or whatever it should be.
Yeah. We, you know, right. So we're based out of New York City. We work nationally. We had a client who had a child in New York City and had a bad burn.
Yeah.
And they went to urgent care and they went to an ER and then they called us and we said, you know, you're at the wrong ER because there's a burn center down the street where you need to go. So some of those things you can't expect ordinary people to know.
Yeah.
It's just sort of what we know in the healthcare system. You know, we know that there are two hospital bills, you know, and we know that there's a hospital bill and a physician bill. We know that, you know, sometimes the anesthesiologist doesn't always take your insurance, so we have to check that ahead of time.
Yeah.
So there's sort of some of the sort of tricks of the trade that, that we know that we can help people and advise them on.
Yeah. And so when with, let's say for your kind of advisory business, what's the process of someone like, you know, how they have to sort of be like, someone can't just call you out of the blue and be like, I have an emergency. I heard about you guys. I imagine you, this has to be something that there has to be some kind of a relationship and a process and an intake and.
Yeah. So that's right. So our, once we're contacted, we do a, complimentary 20 minute, discussion to see if it's the right fit for somebody.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to, start to work with us, then we do our initial assessment where we look at who their physicians are. We look at their insurance. We look at what's happening medically, and then we give them a plan so that if in fact, something happens down the road, we will be in a position to help them manage what's going on. Yeah. Right. So, you know, we'll know who they are. We'll know what's happening with them. We'll know their provider team, and able to support them. You know, we had a client call us a few months ago and her husband, was choking and, she was taking him to the ER. And when we had someone meet her there, we were able to be a second and guiding opinion during that time. But we also brought his medical records, got in touch with his treatment, team so that they knew that the ER team knew what was going on prior to that and so forth. So, doing on the spot at in real time, coordination of care is something that's just been invaluable to our clients.
Yeah. So I imagine you have kind of a fairly specific type of person who tends to look for this kind of help. Who are your like client base at this point?
Many of our clients are, you know, aging between 40s and 70s and either have loved ones who are ill or children who are ill who we help. One of the things that we've discovered quickly is that as much of a benefit we are to the patient we're working with is to the family.
Yeah.
Because for them, it's an enormous amount of relief and support so that when they go to bed at night, they know that their loved one's getting the absolute best care.
And is there any kind of model like this for people who don't have at the high income? I mean, I imagine that there could be like, I'm just trying to think of it as an idea. I feel like, you know, because the way you and I started talking, it was like there are so many scenarios where it's sometimes it's a one-time thing, you know, it's you know, there's something very specific. It's very complicated to figure out how to address this. You need someone to kind of like help you navigate through that. And then for some people, I could imagine having someone who's just, who gets to know like a family's dynamic, also maybe intergenerational sort of genetic things that are, you know, chronic through a family. Over time, you would be able to sort of like understand, oh, this is actually a common thing in this family. Is there, I mean, in, just in terms, I see the benefit of this as a model in general outside of the silo. I'm just trying to figure out how other ways in which, you know, what you're doing and what I've been doing in terms of coordinating care could be possible for the public at large.
Yeah. It's, you know, obviously we're big proponents of that, just to improve healthcare and health outcomes. I think it's being done, in different areas in a piecemeal way. So some insurance companies have caseworkers and have case managers to help.
Right.
And obviously they're looking at it from an insurance medicine perspective.
Well, and as a money saving means for insurance companies.
Right. And some hospitals are doing it to also sometimes disease specific foundations and so forth. We'll do that. Parkinson's foundations and so forth.
Okay.
But often it's sort of from one perspective as opposed to really overseeing and helping the patient's perspective on things.
Yeah. Because I struggle with it a little bit, and my career is similar in the fact that people are having to pay out of pocket to see me. And that's, I do pro bono work as well, but that's kind of the only way for me to kind of figure out how to, survive with my career. I'm not making the kind of money that a lot of doctors are, but the way to kind of like figure out how to make some of these kinds of services happen in a little bit broader way outside of the silos is something that I think there's a whole business that's the holistic care business in general has started up outside of the silos because of the challenges within the silos. So I feel like what you're kind of getting into is the same thing, and I feel like do you think that maybe I'm just speculating here, but do you think that starts to put pressure on these systems who need to sort of step up and address the growing need for this kind of care? Because really what you're doing is it's closer to what people would expect from care from having this in-person, meeting with their doctors, which they don't always get.
I think that those who are involved in healthcare, those involved in healthcare, will they succumb to pressure to do this kind of work? They'll do that if it impacts one of the four domains that drives them.
Yeah.
Right. And those domains are quality, cost, access, and patient experience.
Yeah.
Right. So if they're seeing that those areas are impacted greatly by this kind of gap in the system, then they might want to, they might broach into these areas.
Yeah. And because, the thing that's crazy to me is that for you and I, the other tenant in there that's missing, like for us, reputation is everything.
Right.
I mean, and yet these silos don't have to deal with reputation as much. It's
right.
Like not even part of the equation for some reason.
That's right.
And to, at what point does that start to become a factor if they're not having successful, outcomes with people, and whereas, someone like you, I think a lot of it relates to, part of that is the insurance, challenge of all of this, right? Because again, you're probably, you don't take any insurance for the kind of work that you do, or does insurance cover anything that you do?
Right. Insurance doesn't cover our work. Right?
So, you're providing a kind of insurance that insurance doesn't provide.
Right. We're providing an assurance.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
That. That's right.
Yeah. So, this is the thing that I'm kind of, curious about in terms of where things could possibly go is if we don't have any kind of assurance from our insurance system, what happens? If things start to tip at a certain point when insurance becomes so high and we don't see a successful outcome and people have a successful outcome paying whatever they pay to you, why insurance?
Right. Right. Yeah.
unless it just, and it's, purely for, catastrophic,
right? Well, a hospital catastrophic stay can be several hundred thousand dollars,
right?
Right. So, it, in that regard, it would do that.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right.
And I'm struggling to figure out, even for myself, when I'm trying to figure out my insurance for my family, what makes the most sense. I'm sure you have thoughts on this, but it's getting to a point where does it make sense for me to just have catastrophic care? Mm-hmm. Versus having the ability to see all these specialists and stuff or to fund an HSA and have, excess dollars in case, like what happened to me last year, I had a bike accident, went over my handlebars, sprained my wrist pretty badly. Like, these are, tough things to go through. I'm lucky that I know amazing people who can kind of help me through this process. Yeah. But if you don't, and for me, especially with my work, to have problems with my hands and wrists is a pretty big deal. So, if I wasn't in this field and I had something like this going on, or my hands were of big value to me and my ability to make money, I would probably consult someone who could actually help me through this process. And, yeah. And I'm not going to get that from my insurance. So I'm trying to figure out I'm talking about this with, I have a lot of, you know, people that clients that come to see me who are having the same struggle with their insurance. Like, what's the value here? You know, and how should I organize this? And they're looking for information. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on it.
Yeah. So I have a lot of thoughts on it. So we do that kind of work for people to help them choose the right insurance plan. And we do in a custom way, which is to look at what's happening medically, mm-hmm. What insurance they had in the past, what their needs are, who their physician treatment team is, what insurance options there are for them, what we recommend, and then help them understand what's in their plan.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you've seen one insurance plan, you've seen one insurance plan.
Yeah.
So, like the rest of the healthcare system, unfortunately, it's complex.
Yeah.
You know, and we have many clients who have chosen plans that don't fit them. And when I say that, I mean, they've chosen a plan for whatever reason, and someone could have a lot of complex medical needs, yet their plan they chose has a very, very limited network of physicians and hospitals where they can go for treatment.
Yeah.
So then they're really cornered into not a lot of options. Or someone else who has very little health needs will have a plan that's comprehensive and has all these things and so forth. So where there could be overpaying at some regard. So I think, you know, helping people walk through those decisions, but doing that in a structured and thoughtful way that is, involves the sort of our insights of how the healthcare system works.
And do you have like different kind? I mean, I imagine most of the people who are coming to you probably have complex needs or are entering into a period of time. I would imagine that probably over 50. Yeah. I mean, necessarily the case.
That's right. A handful of people who engage us for just insurance work are often having a challenge. So we have a client who has cancer and her doctor, where a doctor who she's being treated from, who accepts her insurance, is leaving and going to another hospital where he doesn't accept that insurance. And she has been with that doctor for many years and is very committed to him. So now we have the problem of, do you change doctors?
Right.
You can't change insurances right now, but can you petition the insurance?
Mm-hmm.
And then what about your cost of your treatments and your medications and so forth, or inpatient hospital stay? So situations like that, where how to best utilize your insurance based on what's happening treatment-wise, is an area that people often need help with.
That's a huge need, I feel like. Yeah. And for just in terms, I'm just trying to kind of get a sense of like, for let's say, you know, someone, I'm my guess is that people come to you because they have something very specific that they know is going to be a challenge to them, right? When they first start working with you, I doubt you get too many people who are like, got no problems right now, just thinking down the road. But are there like different, but that would be a benefit to you to actually start with them before they have complications.
Well, that's
so
right.
Do you have different plans for like where someone starts with you?
We do. And, you know, we do have a handful of clients who actually are that latter example, who don't have a lot of medical problems now, but want us there if something happens.
Okay.
Right. And for them, you know, we get to know them, we develop a plan for them, and we're there as assurance for them,
mm-hmm.
And so forth. And they also know that if something happens to them medically, instead of their children or their spouses having the burden to care for them, we do a lot of that and are able to support what happened to them. You know, and yes, and there's a handful of our other clients, of course, who have chronic illness, heart disease, diabetes, cancers,
right,
and so forth, neurological problems, where we're able to have a little bit more active and a little bit more involved healthcare advisory.
And is there a different fee structure then for where you know, I imagine it's just a matter of how much time you feel like you're probably going to have to devote to the...
Exactly. Thing. Right. Yeah. Right. That's exactly right.
So are there any things that just from all of your experience that you've kind of gotten to be more of a specialist in terms of like that kind of care management?
Yeah. Obviously a lot of chronic illness, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, where, yeah. You know, there's a lot of neurological challenges and illnesses that people have. We also do very well with rare things where, you know, can't find a doctor, has treatment-resistant depression, or can't figure out why they have other illnesses and so forth. And us helping them go through a process that uses our experience and relationships to help get them to the right doctors and then make the most out of that experience with their new physician team.
Do doctors like when you're involved?
We get that asked a lot, and doctors enjoy what we do because they see us as partnering with them. So one of the core tenets of Better Health Advisors, in addition to custom healthcare advisory, is that we partner with the healthcare system. We're not there to be adversarial with physicians in the treatment team and hospitals and such. And so what that looks like sometimes is one of our advisors could be in a doctor's visit with a client, and the doctor is saying, well, maybe you'll do this PT or that OT, and the advisor will say, oh, I know what the insurance covers. Hmm. Would that be helpful to know that? They'll say, yeah. The doctor says, oh, that's great. Or before a visit, a doctor could call one of our advisors, as they often do, and say, make sure when Jim comes back next Tuesday, we take his blood pressure ahead of time so that I can get some data on how that works.
Yeah.
So that's beneficial. And the other piece is that one of the challenges of the healthcare system is that often people don't know what setting to be treated in. Do I go to urgent care, or do I go see an ophthalmologist, an optometrist, or so forth?
Yeah.
And if we can help advise people to get them into the right treatment setting, we're doing physicians a favor because we're bringing them the right kind of patients for the kind of work that they do.
That's one of the things that I think you and I talked about early on is that I felt like one of the biggest challenges, and I hear this from other friends of mine in healthcare, is that it's really about that match, trying to get the right people together. And sometimes it's just about the right specialty, but I think sometimes too, like you develop an instinct over time of like, this is a very challenging situation, or this is even a very like emotionally charged situation. This doctor probably wouldn't handle this as well as this person would, right? Yeah. You start to develop a sense of those kinds of things. There's no real algorithm that you can do online that makes this happen very easily. You almost need this human part of the equation.
Yeah, that's right. And so that's why, you know, we are not high tech. We don't use, the internet to figure out the right doctors. What we do is personal and hands-on. So we have three clients right now, all who have very similar back problems. And two of them started getting treatment for their back on their own. And in that course of treatment, they saw neurosurgeons, they saw spine orthopedic surgeons, they saw sports medicine doctors, they saw PTs.
Yep.
And each visit is a different day off work, it's a different MRI,
totally. Yeah.
It's a different bill, is a different opinion. And they're stuck. Going to see each of those disciplines for that problem makes sense because there's data that would suggest that each of them treated very well. So the other client who came to us with this problem, we sent him to a program that had all those disciplines under the same umbrella.
Hmm.
And he had one visit, right, by each of those disciplines who evaluated him and together came up with a course of treatment and a plan.
Yeah.
And that's more efficient. That involves multiple perspectives on treatment. And that gave him a better result than having sort of the inefficiencies and the challenges around sort of other models of how to get treated. So those are some of the benefits that we do if you're really doing custom work with people.
And do you have to help them? I imagine when you're working across disciplines of care or different specialties of care, do you help them with the billing, all of any of that part of the process?
Yeah, we often help with billing. You know, some of the help with billing is if we get the person to the right treatment and their insurance covers it, and we get that clarified ahead of time and do it the right way, that makes billing a lot easier.
Yeah.
But yes. Often we'll have very clinically complex patients in the hospital for days and weeks with long, extensive bills. And we could certainly do a reconciliation of that and to go through that.
I mean, even just sometimes I feel like getting, you know, you might even be in the same hospital or in the same, you know, system or something, and each doctor or each health specialist that you see within that system is billed out in separate ways, or, you know, some of them take the insurance and it's sort of confusing when you go through that. Do you have all that figured out ahead of time, or do you have to reconcile a lot of this after the fact when people go through that? Just because sometimes it's just a matter of speed. Like, you know, there's a critical moment in there and you're just trying to make it happen.
Right. Well, some of that's both.
Yeah.
So there's time when we can figure it out ahead of time, we do. But then afterward, you have to go through the reconciliation process and to do that. And it takes experience. It takes someone who's gone through that a lot and has understood sort of how bills work and so forth.
Yeah. So from my perspective, I'm just kind of curious, having been in integrative health, holistic care, or whatever you want to call us at this point, is there any of that that's part of this system? Is that something that you see being recommended, or is it being sort of, is it just being built into clinics that you're working with now, or what's happening with that?
I think it depends on the choice of a patient. If they're interested in having integrative medicine, holistic approach, then there's lots of opportunities.
And is that something that's sort of discussed ahead of time? Like you.
Yeah. So as we talk with our patients about their treatment choices and mm-hmm. and their perspectives, you know, we have a broad and inclusive conversation. So often it becomes a part of that. And, you know, if that involves acupuncture, or if that involves massage or Tai Chi, or sort of how that sort of comes up as part of options for that, right? So we have a client who has Parkinson's, and several of our clients have Parkinson's, and he's found great relief actually through Tai Chi. Another Parkinson's client actually does boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Boxing and dance for Parkinson's and so forth. So I think, you know, for us, coming up with creative solutions that help people, whatever it is what we try to do. And often it comes, many times it comes to integrative and taking a holistic approach.
And sometimes, I mean, because one of the curiosities I have is that I think the belief system of the person, you know, that you're working with is something that too often doesn't get engaged. And you know, because we know to some extent placebo has a benefit, and if it works, it works. It doesn't really matter if this person believes that Tai Chi works for them and makes them feel better. And I've worked with Parkinson's a lot, and movement of any sort, if they can find the right kind of movement that doesn't hurt and is, you know, getting circulation going and they feel better, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just a matter of trying to find those things for them. But it takes the listening part at the mm-hmm. beginning to really get what you think this person is going to. So do you feel like the probing at the beginning is a big part of their care, really?
Yeah, I think the listening is a big part of their care.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, listening is gone.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, doctors' visits, and it's not because doctors aren't good or medicine. It's just the way medicine works. Right. We have 20 minutes for a visit in a primary care, if you're lucky, and physicians have to do these eight or nine things and 12, 15 things. And they have to document during that time and, you know, and they get a phone call and so forth. So there is, you know, how much time is there for those things? Right. You know, we know that when doctors talk to patients about smoking or about safe sex or whatever, it often changes behavior. But, you know, trying to, you know, get to those conversations is the challenge. And because of
it's hard for them to be educators while they're trying to get information. And,
Absolutely. So we're able to educate and we're able to dig deeper and spend more time and ask questions and go through answers in more depth and so forth.
Yeah. Do you have anything at this point that you feel like you guys still want to get into as far as this advisory type of work that you haven't been able to kind of reach yet?
So you know, we have partnerships with a financial firm. One is Lion Street. They're based out of Austin, and you know, that has been very a wonderful relationship. And so we're doing some work with their financial firms, and growing that aspect of it is something that we will look to continue to do.
And in what way? How does that benefit what you've been doing?
So that's a sort of a cohort of clients who would need our services. So often someone walks into a financial advisor's office and starts talking about their planning and long-term care and so forth. And they say, well, you know, I have to leave early for a doctor's visit, or, you know, gee, if I, you know, we do need a nursing home, where do we go? And sort of, so when we're creating plans around wealth advisory and finance, it's often an opportunity to create plans for health as well.
And because there's the potential for someone who has the means to pay for your services to also potentially save money on the amount of money they're spending on their care, on their own health care. Is that part of it as well? Or
it happens very frequently that the work that we will do through intervening will help people save money. So we had a client who was hospitalized and post-hospitalization needed to go to a nursing home. And because of what he was hospitalized for, most nursing homes in the district where he lived would not take him.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a very hard time finding a nursing home. So he just paid for the local one and spent $30,000 in the course of 3.5 weeks at a nursing home because he had nowhere to go and needed the rehab for his orthopedic condition. And we petitioned his insurance company and won. And we won successfully, and then he will get a check back for that money that he spent for that. So the insurance company is now considering his nursing facility to be in network because of what happened medically. And that isn't something that he would have done on his own.
Right. But it just begs back to the thing I was talking about earlier. Like, why is this not involved in the insurance system in the first place? I feel like this would actually save insurance companies money, and you know, it could easily. And I'm sure there are aspects of it that cross over what you do. I'm sure there are people, but that they're not necessarily looking out for the individual who's having the care crisis.
That's right.
And that seems like the challenge.
That's exactly right.
That it's going to continue to go on. Has anything changed since I know there's been some changes in insurance with pre-existing conditions. Since some of the policy that was going on, I see that there's a potential for that being reversed with the Obamacare, but how did that impact? Because that's been during the time that you've been doing this.
Yeah. so you know, there are very many very positive things that came out of Obamacare, and there's also challenges. For patients around that, and some of the challenges are the complexity of choosing plans.
Okay.
Right? How do I know which plan to choose? Which is which? Doesn't make sense. How's it listed? What are the dates? All those things are very difficult to do. And having the wrong insurance greatly impacts your health if you need to utilize a healthcare system.
Do you feel like that's different than, say, like, you know, where you work for a corporation that has you know, multiple tiers of, you know, policy? Is it different than that?
I think it's more challenging. You work for a corporation and HR calls you in November and says, you know, we have 3 health insurance plans. There's a seminar tomorrow at 3:00. Well, they'll go through the plans and you can sit with somebody at 4:30 and go through what's the best plan for you. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens most of the time. And for people who, you know, artists and people who work for themselves and people who are self-employed go to the internet and they go to the marketplace and there's hundreds of plans and, you know, some have dental and how does it work? And some have peds and what's a family plan and how is health plus first different than health plus second and the intricacies of the plans. And, you know, so part of the work we do when we help people with this is also about finding which doctors are on the plans because we had a client, she was a plan and she thought her doctor was on, but her doctor wasn't on. It was a different plan under that same carrier.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because it's very complex.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a very difficult thing to do. And, you know, that's one of the reasons what's made it hard. You know, Medicare, by comparison, is much easier, right? Because there aren't as many options.
Do you see any shifting about to happen in terms of insurance? Is there anything that you can kind of see happening?
My concern from an insurance perspective is that since they lift the mandate on requiring people to have insurance,
right,
then from an insurance perspective, often people who are healthy will opt out,
right,
which will then give them a larger cohort of people who are sick. And if you have a larger cohort of sick people
within that insurance model,
then you often increase the price.
Right. Gotcha. Right?
It's comparable to having a car insurance company, but only insuring drunk drivers and teenagers.
Right. Exactly. Right?
And then saying, well, why are your premiums $1,000 a month?
Yeah.
Right. You don't have the 40-year-olds who have never had an accident in your cohort.
Yeah.
So, and our healthcare system insurance wise is like that to begin with.
Right.
Right. So national health insurance, federal health insurance through Medicare and through Medicaid, right, covers elderly and poor people.
Right.
So that's the same thing as having a car insurance company for people who are, drunk drivers and, you know, and teenagers. It's the highest likelihood of having problems.
Yeah, and then compounding that, these healthy people could have something happen tomorrow, and not only will they take on personal stuff, but in some way the system is also going to have to pick up the slack for whatever has happened in this person's livelihood.
That's
because
right.
if it's something that's, you know, a bigger thing, which could happen because of a car accident and any kind of accident,
right,
then that's also part of it. So
I see
the challenge there.
Yeah.
I think once you start this idea or, you know, this way of doing things, all the other models are basically in competition with whatever model is sort of drawing the biggest crowd, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so now everyone's, you know, going to say, well, then, and I think that's part of the reason why the discussion of dropping pre-existing condition from all this stuff is in the mix again, because it's like, well, there's one way that we can all kind of get back on level playing ground again.
Right, right. And there's a lot of great, great fear with consumers about dropping that. Because it could be devastating to a lot of people with a lot of chronic illness.
Right. Mm. I imagine that's probably not as big of a deal for your business, but it could be.
Well, it could be. So the ripple effects of that could be very significant, right? Where somebody has a pre-existing condition, can't get insurance, and then, you know, the doctors they were seeing for the last 10 years for diabetes, for cancer, for heart disease.
Yeah.
They can't see anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So then what do we do? Right. So that's when we come in to try to help people.
Yeah. Well, this is really interesting. I mean, I feel like I'm exploring this as part of, you know, looking for solutions. And I feel like there's something really important about what's going on with advisory in health and this ability to sort of coordinate all of this. Cause people come to me a lot of times and say, I have to be my own advocate, and I And so many times I'm thinking, you don't have the background. You're not going to get this kind of information. You can do as much research as you want. I've been in this field for 20 years and I struggle, you know, like you need someone who kind of can see from a bigger perspective, all these different pieces. And I feel like there's a growing need for this. I'd like to see more people doing this kind of work. Obviously, you know, the people who can afford this are getting this kind of care, but I feel like this could be something that's almost a model for people who are just interested in like having some kind of, you know, advisory or management for their whole family in general, and that it could be done in a way where people have the ability to sort of tap in and get information about this, or be able to sort of like meet with someone like you for a one time. Just need to, I know I'm spending way too much on insurance. How can I deal with this? Mm-hmm. That kind of mm-hmm. stuff.
Well, the need is there. There's a crying unmet need.
Yeah.
For people.
And that's what I hear over and over again. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this. Thanks for taking the time for doing this. And, your website, if people are looking for information and resource, is
betterhealthadvisors.com.
Betterhealthadvisors.com. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. John Samuels, folks, clearly a very dedicated guy, loves the service that he provides, and I think he makes a pretty strong case for health advisory. One of my reasons for starting this podcast is because, as an integrative health specialist, outside of the insurance-based system, I am by and large treating people and only people who can afford my services. I do engage in pro bono work, and I'm connected to specific groups that I know can afford my care but need it. And I wanted this podcast to be sort of an extension of that. I wanted to provide resource beyond the Google search through these thoughtful conversations with people out there in the world trying to solve problems, looking to improve the health and livelihood of people and communities and the planet. And as I said in our conversation, I think much of what Better Health Advisors provides as service, if implemented on a broader scale, would create improved health outcomes with this kind of advisory. It's unfortunate that it's not covered as a service in our health system, and so I can't help but ask, what if? And that being said, I'm one of those people who probably can't even afford this kind of service, and in fact, gone through much of my career not even being able to afford the services similar to mine. If I was in a crisis, though, or had a family member with serious health challenge, I would consider this kind of advisory because of the amount of money that oftentimes gets put out for care with long stays. Could easily save you money and possibly save a life. Thanks to John for taking the time to meet with me for this conversation. Let me know what you thought of this topic and conversation. You can email me, as always, jeremy@highwaytohealthpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Be good to yourself, be kind to each other, and take care of your planet. Be well, my friends.